From the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies, this is Pardes from Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, Pardes Alum. This week, Bahalotecha. This week, I'd like to ask you to please rate the podcast on iTunes or wherever you listen to the podcast. Rating the podcast doesn't take long, but it does make a big difference. Thank you very much. This week, Bahalotecha with Rabbi David Levenkreuz. Rabbi David Levenkreuz is an adjunct member of the Pardes faculty. And now, Rabbi David Levenkreuz.
Thank you, Larry. Today, I'm going to talk about humility. And in the interest of humility, I want to say that the class I'm about to give is based on a lot of other people's ideas. Whenever I have those other people's ideas, I'm going to quote them. But I think that they're things that I do not have the sources for. So if you see anything that sounds familiar from elsewhere, please do write in and share with me where I've got it from. There is a mitzvah to ascribe sources to the people you learned it from. Ha'omer devar ba'omro mevi geula le'olam. Somebody who says something in the name of the person who said it brings redemption to the world. And in the interest of world redemption and also not disobeying copyright laws, please share anything that sounds familiar with me. And I'm happy when I give this class in future to share my sources. The truth of the matter is, humility has a bad name in our modern world. There's a story that people often tell about a rabbi, a chazan, and a shamash, the help in the shul, that it's Yom Kippur, and they're standing before the ark, and the rabbi says, "God, God, God, before you, I'm absolutely nothing," and prostrates himself before the ark. And then the chazan says, "God, God, God, I'm absolutely nothing. Before you, I'm absolutely nothing," and prostrates himself before the ark. And the shamash, seeing what the other two are doing, the beadle, also goes to the ark and says, "God, God, God, I'm absolutely zero. I'm absolutely nothing before you." At which point, the chazan and the rabbi look at each other and say, "Look who thinks he's a nothing." This joke is often ascribed to the Musar movement. The Musar movement was a movement in the 1800s. Which emphasized moral perfection and working on oneself ethically and morally. And this joke is often used to make fun of the Musar movement. I have no idea where this joke really came from, but in many, many ways, it's a very, very modern joke. As I said, humility in our world has a bad name. Today, we use buzzwords like self-fulfillment, self-worth, self-expression. To be humble is thought of as being not assertive, as not speaking up, not standing up for oneself. And yet we have a very, very interesting paradox. We have Moses who confronted Pharaoh. We have Moses who castigated the Jewish people. We have Moses who stood up to God. We have Moses who took this whining, angry people from Egypt to the land of Israel. And yet, in this week's parasha, we read about how humble Moses was. We read in Baalotcha, in Bamidbar 12, verses 1 to 3, Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Cushite woman he had married. It's unclear, was it because she was black and they were a form of racism? Was it because she was outside the tribe? Was it because all different things the Midrashim want to say? That's not our issue today. And then they say, is it to Moses exclusively that God speaks? Doesn't he speak also to us? Why does Moses raise Israel up to high, at least in their eyes? Why is Moses so important? We're also prophets. God speaks to us as well. And then it says, God heard it. And it says, Va'ish Moshe anav mo'od. Mekol ha'adam asher al pnei ha'adama. The man Moses, however, was very humble, more so than any man on the face of the earth. I always find this verse a little amusing. When you speak about Moses as being more humble than any man on the face of the earth, it sounds a little bit like the joke, like, since when are there competitions for how humble we are? And if you are more humble, then you're not so humble. But neither is that our matter for today. That's a side point. What to me is very important is that two things are emphasized over here. One is that Moshe is a man, Va'ish Moshe. And the second is how humble he was. And I believe that these two are very, very well connected. The classic commentators understand the mention of Moshe's humility very often in the way the Ramban does, where he says Moses was humble. It tells us that Moses was humble to tell us that God himself, ki Hashem kanalo ba'avu avonoto, that God was zealous for Moses' sake on account of Moses' great humility, that Moses would not have stood up for himself, so God did it for Moshe. And they emphasize very often the idea of Moses being a man to speak in the context of his relationship with the Cushite woman, saying he's a man, he also has sexual needs the same as anybody else. He also has romantic needs. You have to see it in this context. And that's the way we often use man or human in our modern world. When somebody does something not so great, we'll say he's only human. That's what happens. We're all frail. I think here something different is going on. It's because of Moshe's appreciation that he is a person and nothing more, that he is able to be humble. And this humility is in great contrast to Miriam and Aaron, who are actually being arrogant. We read in Chulin 89a, this is in the Gemara, Rabbi Yossi said, the verse, it was not because you were greater than any people that God set his love upon you and chose you, but because you were the humblest of all peoples. Why did God choose the Jewish people according to Devarim 7:7? Because we were humble. Means that the Holy One said to Israel, I love you, because even when I shower greatness upon you, you humble yourself before me. And it gives a few examples. I gave lots of greatness to Abraham, and what did he say? Ani afar ve'efer. I'm dust and ashes. I gave things and lots of good things towards Moses and Aaron. And what did they say? We are nothing. He said, I gave lots of things to David. And what did he say? Vani tolat velo ish. I am a worm and not a man. In other words, all these people, David, Aaron, Moses, the Jewish people, when God gave them something, they didn't say, that means I'm fantastic, that means I'm great. They accepted that they came from God and were humble, even self-effacing. The gifts that God gives us doesn't really say anything about who we are. They're just gifts. We got them. We didn't do anything special. It's what we do with them that is important. The gifts do say what we're capable of doing. If we are truly humble, we recognize what gifts and strengths we have. We don't pretend we don't have them. We recognize them, and then we put them to use. The achievements we have are usually either due to things that we were given or opportunities that came our way. If one wants to be proud of something, one can be proud of what one does with the gifts that one is given. Even that, I would say, a maybe, because a lot of contemporary neuroscience is telling us that even things like hard work, commitment, and things like that also may be the result of certain genetic factors. But if we want to take responsibility for something, if we want to take credit, it's not for a person to say, I'm clever, but for them to say, I worked really hard and I used my intelligence to solve this problem or to help the world in that way. For something not to go to one's head, one has to really realize that it isn't our own accomplishment, but things that come from God. Even if one is not a God believer, it's possible to believe this in a secular way and to say it might be fate, it may be chance, but certain things I was just given. It doesn't imply any inherent superiority on my part. It was the chance of life. Now that I've been given these wonderful things, the question is, what do I do with them? Humility, says former Chief Rabbi Jonathan Sacks, is one of the most expansive and life-enhancing of all virtues. It doesn't mean undervaluing yourself. It means valuing other people. It signals a certain openness to life's grandeur and the willingness to be surprised, uplifted by goodness wherever one finds it. Rabbi Sacks is emphasizing that humility does not mean thinking of yourself as a good-for-nothing. That's self-effacement. That's something else completely. That's low self-esteem. That is the opposite of humility. Humility is understanding who one is in a world of other human beings, understanding that one's greatness, whatever one has, comes from God, and then using it for the help of other people. If we're truly humble, we don't belittle ourselves nor other people. We understand what we really can be, and we understand one's value. There's a story about Dayan Abramsky, who was a very, very famous halakhic decisor in England, that he was one day called to the secular courts, and he was very, very upset about going. He didn't want to have to swear an oath. He didn't want to appear in court. Nevertheless, he had to go. The authorities required it, and he went. He took the oath, and the judge said to them, "What is your name?" And he said, "My name is Rabbi Abramsky." And he said, "And what do you do?" And he said, "Your Honor, I'm the foremost expert in Jewish law in all of Europe." And the judge looked to him and said, "Rabbi Abramsky, don't you think that this is a little bit arrogant?" And he said, "Your Honor, I am under oath." In many, many ways, Dayan Abramsky was not arrogant, because he realized his potential, and he realized what he was given, and he realized what he had done with it. Humility is not pushing oneself down. It is recognizing who one is and one's own ultimate potential. Humility is the smallest we feel when we compare ourselves to what we really are able to do. Very often we may feel humble because we have not achieved our potential. Our job is not to compare ourselves to other people so much, but if one wants to know about one's self-worth, to compare yourself, ourselves, to how we were yesterday, as compared today, how we are today compared to yesterday, rather than comparing ourselves to other. If we have great innate ability, that implies great responsibility. We can't feel haughty for doing what God has obligated us to do. So that is all about the question of man, of how we are a person, and how we need to see ourselves as a person, as part of the universe, nothing more than that. But now let's move on to another idea, and that is the idea of Moses' relationship with God and how the humility was helpful in Moses' relationship with God. If we look at Bamidbar 12, verses 6 to 8, God says, look, listen to what I'm saying. Moses and Aaron and Miriam, I do speak to you, but when I speak to you, b'chalom adaber bo, I speak to you in a dream. He said, this is not the same of Moses. He says, when I speak to him, I speak to him per el per adaber bo, umar elo velo b'chidot utmunot Hashem. I speak to him face and face in a vision without allegory, so that he is able to see a true picture of God. There's something special about my relationship with Moses. And why is this? Let us look at a piece from the Talmud and a piece from the Rambam to understand it. Tanit 7a says, Rabbi Chanina bar Idi said, why are the words of Torah compared to water? And it gives a pasuk to teach you that just as water flows from a high place to a low place, so Torah can only exist in someone who is humble. Ma'amayim menichim makom gavoh avochim lemakom namuch, af divrei Torah ein mikaimim eile b'mi shedaato shvela. You have to nullify oneself before God. It's like almost a physical reality. If I think I'm equal to God, then God's greatness is not able to flow before me. But if I am humble before God, then God's greatness is able to flow before me. The Rambam in Talmud Torah says something similar. Just as water cannot collect on a slope, but rather flows from it, gathers on a plateau, so the words, he's almost paraphrasing it, so the words of Torah are not to be found in one who is vulgar of spirit, nor in the heart of one who is haughty, but rather in one who is lowly and of humble spirit, who sits at the feet of the sages, removes temporary desires and pleasures from his heart, performs a little labor every day to support themselves and spends the rest of their day and night involved in Torah, you have to negate yourself, and then God will come to you and allow you to reach one's full potential. There is humility when we compare ourselves to the ultimate reality. Again, quoting Rabbi Jonathan Sacks, he said, in Judaism, humility is an appreciation of oneself, one's talents, skills, and virtues. It is not meekness or self-deprecating thought, but the effacing of oneself to something higher. So we've seen two very, very powerful ideas about what it means to be a person and what it means to be humble. We are humble because we realize we are a person like other people. Our gifts come from God. If anything, the only thing we have to be proud of is how we put our gifts to work. And then the second point is that there's an irony. When we humble ourselves, dafka, that is when God is able to speak to us and allow us to see God. When I looked through my notes for this class, it was interesting to see how I taught it in previous years. This is not the first time I'm giving the class. I very, very much emphasize the second point, that in some ironic way, humility actually makes one stronger, more assertive, because one realizes that it is God that one has to answer to. One realizes that one lowers oneself and therefore God is with you. I would quote Rav Kook, who very beautifully speaks about how it is more powerful to be a small cog in God's machine. These are not his words, but I'm paraphrasing. It's to be a small cog in God's machine rather than to be a much bigger cog in somebody else's machine. Better to serve in heaven than to reign in hell, to misquote Milton. I still think that's true. I still think humility is a very, very important part of actually being able to act in the world. I still think that humility is a very, very important part in being able to see God in one's life. But I think I've become less clever over the years. If a person wants to be happy, if one wants to live one's life with a sense of truth, if one wants to do what is good and what is right, I think a sense of humility is essential. I know that for myself, when I had the birthdays that end in a zero, they were very powerful for me. 30, let's leave 30. But I know when I turned 40, and then when I turned 50, they were very, very powerful moments for me, because I was able to accept that there's certain things that I wouldn't do, and that was fine. And I accepted that, and that acceptance in turn was, and the ability to understand what my role was in the universe, was able to help me take what talents I did have and use them in the best way, in a spirit of humility and of acceptance. And in many, many ways, it's not just a message for Moshe, but a message for all of us. It says, Va'ish Moshe anav me'od. The man Moses was very humble. I think for all of us in the world, these are two very, very powerful challenges. How does one be a person in the fullness and the best of what that means? And how does one be humble in the fullness and the best of what that means? Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you, Rabbi Levin Cruz. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you on the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.